If you've just now visiting with us, my name's Dave, one of the pastors here, and we're in a series called Better Than Twitter. And the reason we call it that is, when I signed up for Twitter, which I know surprises a lot of people, that I actually entered the 21st century, they sent me an email that said, "Hey, thank you for helping us reach our goal of reaching every person on the planet." And Twitter basically is trying to get every person on the planet to post 140 character or less tweets about what they ate for dinner and what movie they went to. And I thought to myself, if a secular company is that determined to reach every person on the planet to get them to do something that has no eternal value whatsoever, why isn't the church more intentional about reaching every person on the planet with something that matters for eternity? And so that's why we called it Better Than Twitter. We want to be a church that is better than Twitter. And guys, the vision around here is build the body, change the world. You guys have probably heard that if you've been around here at all. Build the body, change the world. And the way we're going to do that is by our four wins. We're going to build the body by bringing non-Christian people to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. We're going to build the body, change the world by getting people into community. Build the body, change the world by moving people towards spiritual maturity. We're going to build the body, change the world by setting people loose to make an eternal difference. Four wins, a catalyst. And we're going through that this month. And guys, we're on win number three. We're talking about training, moving people towards spiritual maturity. Let's see here. Our outline's already been passed out, I guess. If you guys have outlines, you guys get them out and follow along. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. If you have a Bible, you want to go ahead and turn there. Hebrews chapter 5, follow along. While you're turning there, we'll go ahead and get started. Author John Eldridge, in the book Wild at Heart, talked about fixing a broken sprinkler system in his yard. It had leaked in it, and he dug down, and he saw the broken pipe and everything, and he cut the broken pipe out, and he tried to put a new pipe in there, but it just wasn't working, and he found himself getting really frustrated, and he said, "You know what, I wish that there was somebody here that would show me how to do this so that I wouldn't make all these mistakes instead of trying to figure this out on my own." And he got so angry just that he didn't have anyone to really show him how to do this. And he said that's the way a lot of people are in the world, trying to figure out how to do life, how to make this life work, but they don't have anybody to show them how to do it. John Eldridge's story, he grew up without a dad, and he's having to figure out all this stuff. And I don't know about you ladies, but a lot of the men, we have a lot of anger because we are trying to figure out how to do life, and we don't have anyone to guide us, anyone to tell us what to do. I experienced some of this myself. When I went into youth ministry, I rapidly realized that if I wanted a car, I wanted a car to run, I learned how to fix it myself, or I walked because I couldn't afford to pay anyone to fix it. So I needed to change the timing belt on my 1988 Nissan Maxima with 175,000 miles on. I had to change the timing belt, and it's a pretty big undertaking. I got in there, and a long story short, I kind of messed it up. And I remember feeling exactly like John Eldridge, that I wish there was somebody here that would show me how to do this, how to fix this complex thing, but there was no one to do that, and so I got frustrated trying to figure it out on my own. And guys, that's the way a lot of people are in their walk with Christ. A lot of people in this room today are frustrated in their walk with Christ because they want to learn how to pray. They want to learn how to study the Bible. They want to be close to God, but they just don't know how to do it. And it doesn't seem like there's anyone around who can show us how that happens. And you go to the church, and maybe the church offers a sermon and maybe a Bible study or something like that, but nothing really intentional about growing people up in the faith. And I think sermons and Bible studies are very important, but sometimes it's not enough. Well, guys, we want to fix that problem here at Catalyst. We want to make sure that people have a way of growing from spiritual immaturity to spiritual maturity, moving people and connecting them closer with Christ. And that's what our third win is about: training, moving people towards spiritual maturity. If you guys look at Hebrews 5, verse 12 through 6, 2, the writer of Hebrews says this: "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Chapter 6, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death. and of faith in God, instructions about baptisms, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So guys, in this passage, we're going to talk about this today. All right. The first thing that we learn about this passage is something that may come as a revelation to a lot of people in this room. But a healthy church, number one, healthy church has a mix of immature and mature believers. A healthy church has both. And this is why. You say, don't you want all mature believers in your church? No, I don't. Why? Why wouldn't you want all mature believers in the church? Well, because if we were all mature believers, we'd be a nursing home. That's what we'd be. Okay? The reason is because if we were all mature believers and there are no immature believers, no new believers coming in, that would mean that the mature believers are past their prime and they're impotent and they can't bring anyone into the faith. It's just a whole bunch of people that they can't reproduce, that can't bring new people in. So it's a nursing home. That's what it is. That's what a church full of all mature believers is. If the mature believers were truly mature believers, they would be spreading the faith to people and bringing people into the church. But on the other hand, I don't want a church full of immature believers because that's a daycare. I don't want a daycare. Daycare, the kids need everything. They need you constantly not producing anything. So guys, so a good church, a healthy church, is a mix of both immature and mature believers. And that is a revelation to a lot of people because there's some mature believers that don't have any tolerance or any love for immature believers. And there are some immature believers that don't have any love for mature believers. But guys, in order for there to be a healthy church, we got to have both. Plain and simple. See, there's some people in this room right now. There's some people in this room that it is a revelation to you to find out that God loves you. And that is news to you, and that is what you need to hear this morning, and that's where you are. That is awesome, okay? And there are others of you that don't need to be told that God loves you. You know God loves you. He's been telling you that for a long time. And what you need is to be challenged to lay down your life and for the sake of the gospel. That's what you need to hear, okay? Guys, a good, healthy church has both types of people, okay? So let's have love for both. Second thing that we find out, that spiritual milk is intended to bring about fast growth. Now, I'm a father of four, okay? And I have seen what happens when kids, infants, eat milk or drink milk. You know what happens? The kids double in size like every 3 days, okay? They grow fast. I don't know if you've ever seen an infant grow. But, I mean, if you see an infant and then you see an infant, that same kid, like a month later, they're like this big. They're huge, okay? Milk is intended for fast growth, okay? That's what spiritual milk is. God designed us to grow quickly, physically, and spiritually. Okay? That is what God intends for us to do. It's interesting that God uses food analogies to describe the process of growth. Because in order for there to be maturity, spiritual maturity, you have to be hungry. You have to be hungry. Jesus told a story, a parable, about a farmer that went out to sow his seed. He says, a farmer took seed and he threw it everywhere, just indiscriminately, just threw it everywhere. Some landed on the street and the birds came and ate it up. Others fell on rocky soil and it sprang up quickly, but as soon as the sun rose up, it scorched the plants and the plants died. Other seed fell among thorns and it tried to grow, but the thorns choked it out. And other seed fell among good soil and it produced a crop 30, 60, 100 times what is sown. And the disciples were scratching their head going, okay, Jesus, thanks for the farming analogy. We don't get it. We don't get what you're saying. What does this have to do with anything? And Jesus says, well, this is what it means. The farmer is God, and the seed is the word. It's preached all over the world. And he said, there are four types of people that hear, the message of the gospel. The first type are people whose hearts are hard for whatever reason. Their hearts are hard. They've been through tough life circumstances or they're just flat out rebellious against God, but they just don't want to hear the word. And the word never penetrates the heart and Satan comes and snatches it away. The second type are people that receive the message with joy. They hear the message of salvation and they're fired up about it and they start to grow. But the second that tough times happen, they hear that, oh man, God wants me to sacrifice. They hear from their unchurched friends, you're going to church? Are you serious? Are you an idiot? Have you lost all of your mind? They hear that, persecution comes. They're like, checking out. The third type is the type that falls among thorns. So the thorns, it tries to grow, but this person is so consumed with worry and the deceitfulness of wealth that it chokes it out, making it unfruitful. The fourth type is good soil, where the seed starts producing a crop and growing. And guys, if we're going to move towards spiritual maturity, we've got to be hungry. See, in here, those four types of soil, they're in here. There are people here that don't want to hear anything that I'm having to say. There are people in here right now that don't want to hear it. I don't know why you're here. I'm glad you're here. But everything that I'm saying is just sitting right here. It's not penetrating in, okay? There are people in here that are that way. There are people in here that are the rocky soil that, man, this sounds great, but the second you hear from your unchurched friends, man, I'm bailing. I'm jumping ship. And there are people in here that really want to grow, but you're so consumed with worry, so going after that almighty dollar, consumed with wealth, that faith cannot grow. And then there are people in here who are the good soul, who the Word of God is penetrating your heart, and God is growing you, and you're making decisions, and you're having victory over sin, and stuff like that. Guys, in order for us to grow, we have got to be hungry. Okay, we've got to be hungry for the Word. I've used this analogy before, but I'm going to say it again because it's so very, very important. One time for lunch, I went out to CC's Pizza. And I don't like CC's Pizza that much, but it's a lot of food for a little bit of money, okay? And that's very attractive to a pastor, okay? That's the way we are. They teach us that in seminary, all right? Well, I went there, and I filled up with pizza, and I filled up with breadsticks, and I filled up with everything, and man, by the time I got home, I was so full. And Rachel meets me at the door. She said, "Surprise! I fixed your favorite meal. Pork loin, grilled pork loin with pineapples, and I got garlic bread, and we got mixed vegetables, and we got all this stuff." And I'm like, that just does not appeal at all. Why? Because the food wasn't good? No, because I was already full of something else. And guys, I want to ask you, are you hungry for growth? Are you hungry to grow? Because if you're not hungry to grow, you might want to find out what you have been filling yourself up with. The only reason you're not hungry because you're already full of something else that is not of the Lord. Guys, we have to be hungry for spiritual maturity to happen. In Hebrews 6:1, he says this, the writer of Hebrews says this, "Let us leave the elementary teachings of Christ and move on to maturity." Let us leave the elementary teachings of Christ and move on to maturity. Guys, the goal of every believer is maturity. And too many of us in the church, in here and in the church in America, have become too comfortable in our immaturity. This is how you know how you have a spiritual immaturity problem. This is the acid test. You guys ready? This is how you know you have a spiritual immaturity problem. All of your spiritual growth and victories have already happened. They've already happened. There's nothing in the future that you're moving towards. There's nothing on the radar for you in the future. All of your spiritual victories, all of your spiritual growth has already happened, and you're in coast mode. That's how you know you have a spiritual immaturity problem. It's kind of like Jeff Foxworthy was talking. He went to a family reunion, and he ran into his sister. And his sister has a kid, he said, "My sister thinks that her kid is going to be the next Einstein because he stands in the yard and says, 'Airplane! Airplane!'" And Jeff Fox was, "Well, sis, he's 14 years old. I don't know. They're probably not doing real well, okay?" And I want to ask you a question. Are you guys standing in the front yard on an airplane when it comes to your faith? Now, if you're very, very new in the faith, that's okay. But if you've been in the church for a while, are you still doing that? Guys, in maturing, we need to make three moves, okay? Write these down, three moves. The first thing, in order to leave the elementary teachings about Christ and move on to maturity, the first thing we have to do is move from wanting something from Jesus to wanting something to Jesus. Guys, all of us come to Jesus. All of us come to Jesus needing something, okay? All of us come to Jesus needy. We come needing something like, we need forgiveness. We need cleansing. We need purpose. We need guidance. We need a new life, okay? Every one of us comes to Jesus needing. Guys, that's okay. When we mature, we move from consuming Jesus to being consumed by Jesus. How many of you guys hear the words, "I go to church because I need to get filled. I need to get filled. I've had a rough week. I am so empty. I'm running on empty. I need to go to church and get filled. How many of you guys have ever heard that? I've heard that, okay? I've even said that. You know, and to a degree, that's okay. We all need the Word of God. We all need to worship because that fills us up. But it often betrays a lack of spiritual maturity. Because I would rather hear, I go to church. I go to church because I'm part of the body. Because they need me there. Because I'm an essential part of the family. See, guys, mature believers are constantly evaluating their lives to see what areas are not surrendered to God. Okay? That's what it means. They're constantly doing that. Okay? I did this the other day. I'm doing this all the time. But, you know, I was looking at areas of my life that may not be surrendered to God. And I said, you know, what about the test of my treasure? Is that, you know, my wife and I give to a lot of things, to this church. We sponsor a child in Haiti. We give to missions, go on missions and stuff like that. You know, I don't think that that's necessarily bad. I'm working on surrendering more. You know, what about my time, you know, everything? And I thought to myself, well, shoot, I'm pretty well surrendered to God. I'm doing well here. And then all of a sudden, God's brought across my path a little boy who comes from terrible circumstances. And God said, what if I wanted you to raise this boy as your own? What if I wanted you to adopt this little boy and be his dad? And I said, absolutely not. Not at all. My home, God, is my home. I don't want the disruption. If you want me to go over to the other side of the world into persecuted countries and teach there, no problem. Not a problem at all. I'll do that in a heartbeat. That fires me up. But if you tell me that you want me to adopt a kid, absolutely not. The reason is because I like my home the way it is. I like my home the way it is. I like the fact that all my kids have a room. I like the fact that family dinners, I like the way our family's set up. I like, you know, I just like that. I don't want another kid in there throwing the mix off. I don't want to pay for another college tuition. I don't want to deal with any of that. My home is my home, God. And immediately I realized that basically I was telling God no. There's an area of my life that was not surrendered. And basically what God said is, what if I wanted to come live with you? I said, oh, that'd be fine, God. Come live with me. And then immediately in Scripture, whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done for me. Is your home, is your life, what's off limits to God in your life? Mature believers are constantly asking, what is not surrendered, and surrendering that. See, guys, we need to move from working, if wanting something from Jesus, to what can we give to Jesus? What areas of our lives do we need to surrender to Jesus? Okay? That's the first move we have to make in moving from immaturity to maturity. The second, we need to move from focusing on forgiveness to focusing on freedom. Okay, guys, in my early stages of Christianity, I was basically concerned with is this a sin? Is this not a sin? Is this a sin? If I do this, is this going to send me to hell? Or is this okay? It was kind of like my entire focus was sin avoidance. And that's the early stages of Christianity. Some of you guys may be there right now. There's nothing wrong with that. But as you move towards maturity, mature Christian moves from sin avoidance to a dynamic love for God. And this is what it looks like. The immature Christian is constantly asking the question, what's wrong with it? When coming to a behavior or an action or a decision, you say, what's wrong with it? Okay? The mature believer says, instead of what's wrong with it, they say, does this action or this decision, does this shout to the world the glory and awesomeness of God? Huge difference in there from moving with what's wrong with it to does this shout the glory of God? For example, looking at drugs. Hey, smoke a little joint. What's wrong with that? I'm not going to hurt anybody, right? Okay. Well, the mature Christian asks this. Well, my chemical dependence and all the stuff that goes along with that, shout to the world that God's everything, that my one desire is God, that I take satisfaction in Him and not in a chemical. Big difference. an immature Christian looks at a person and says, oh, this woman's beautiful, this guy's good looking, you know, what's wrong with dating him? What's wrong with it? A mature Christian says, well, giving my heart and my life to this person, shout to the world that I'm surrendered to God and that He's my Lord, He's my Savior, and that His word is sovereign when it comes to marriage and dating. Will it shout to the world that his glory? It's a big difference. Focusing on sin avoidance as opposed to focusing on freedom. That's the second move we need to make. The third move is the biggest. This is my favorite. From focusing on accepting Christ to accomplishing the mission of Christ. Two huge different things, okay? When you're in early stages of Christianity, you have to wrestle with the question, do I accept Christ? Do I repent of my sins? Do I surrender my life to Christ? Is that what? That's the major thing. But for the question for the mature Christian is, how do I accomplish the mission of Christ? So I sat down with a guy who's in his mid-50s. I wrote a blog about this. Some of you guys may have read it. But before I get started, I just want to let you know, guys, I love studying the Bible. It's important to me. I love Christian education. I think learning about the Bible and learning about things is very important. Okay? I think that is. But I sat down with this 55-year-old guy who was leaving his church. And he wanted to talk to me about that. I said, well, man, why are you leaving your church? You've only been there 7 or 8 months. Well, you know, and before that, you were in a church. And before that, you were in a church. And before that, you're like a professional church hopper. Why in the world are you leaving the church? And he goes, well, I just need to go to a church where they have better Bible classes. I said, better Bible classes. Okay. I said, why? Why? And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, why do you need another Bible class? Why do you need another sermon? You've been in church your whole life, man. Do you really need another Bible class? Do you really need another sermon? And I said this, when are you going to start being a force for the kingdom? And he goes, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you're 55 years old, man. When are you going to adopt a child and raise that child up to know the Lord? A kid without a parent, a kid without a dad, a kid without a mom who's going to be lost in this world without any kind of guidance. When are you going to adopt someone and be a force for the kingdom? I said, when are you going to double tithe? You know, when are you going to take, you know, double that and send money to persecuted countries to plant churches to further the gospel there? When are you going to move, sell your nice house in the suburbs and move into a house half that size, cutting your mortgage from this, this, and free up all these resources for the kingdom? When are you going to start being a force for the kingdom? He looked at me like I had two heads. And he goes, you know, that sounds good, but I'm just going to go to a church that has better Bible classes. And I said, what? For what purpose? For what purpose are you going to go to a Bible class? And I said, man, do you really need that? What's the purpose of all that? Why study the Bible? Why read Christian books or listen to sermons or engage in Christian communication? Why? What's the purpose? Isn't it to prepare you to do the great stuff for the kingdom that God has prepared you to do? That great, awesome, risk-filled stuff that God has called you to do? Or are you just going to sit there and learn for knowledge's sake? Guys, for too long, the church has focused on knowledge for knowledge's sake. Well, no wonder why everybody's bored. No wonder. Think about it. As an athlete, if all I did was practice, all right, season's starting, coach calls you up, season's starting, it's time to practice. And you practice, 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 and never had any games, I'd quit. I don't want to practice for practice's sake. The reason I go to practice is so I can win in the games. And the same thing, the reason we study the Bible, the reason we read Christian books, the reason you hear a sermon, the reason we worship is to prepare you for the game, to prepare you to make a difference in this world, to be a force for the kingdom. Like I said, for too long, the church has just done knowledge for knowledge's sake. And like I said, no wonder everyone's bored. So we need to move from accepting Christ to accomplishing the mission of Christ. You're not studying the Bible for Bible's sake. You're studying the Bible to prepare you to do the things that God created you to do in this world and experience the joy of that. So let's bring this home, guys. Let's bring this home. Right now, there are four types of people in this room, four different categories, and everyone needs to move towards spiritual maturity. Number one, the first group of people that are in here is a group called Exploring Christ. This is the group that Christ is not a significant part of your life. Okay, you've never made a commitment to Jesus, never been baptized, never, basically you're kind of dating Jesus. You're kind of figuring out if Jesus is somebody that you want to commit your life to. You're kind of maybe dating the church a little bit. There's no commitment or anything like that. Well, guys, if you're in this category, you need to make a decision this morning. You need to make a decision this morning. Number one, you need to commit to Christ and be baptized. That's your job. That's your goal. That's where you are. That is how you begin this path toward spiritual maturity. That's your step. If you're not willing to take that step, you're going to stay exactly where you are. The second group is called growing in Christ. These are people who have committed to Jesus. They've been baptized, and they're growing, but they're still just figuring out what it means to walk with Christ, okay? That's about 40% of the people in here, okay, in most churches. Your decision today, moving towards spiritual maturity, is that you have to put Christ first. That's the decision you need to make, and you need to develop personal and spiritual disciplines that will connect you with Christ. Studies like things like prayer, things like study, things like worship. You need to learn how to do those things. Third group of people are people known as close to Christ, okay? Close to Christ. These are people who depend on Christ every day. They see Jesus as someone who helps them and guides them. They turn to him for help and guidance in everyday situations, okay? Now, the decision you have to make if you're in this group, you have to decide to love people as much as you love Jesus. There's a disconnect in this group between how much you love God and how much you love people. You also have to wrestle with not conforming to the culture around you. As you move closer to Christ, you begin to see a disconnect between what is portrayed in American society and what the Bible says. And you wrestle with things like materialism and stepping out in faith and making big changes. Those are the decisions you need to make if you're at this stage of the game. And the fourth group is called Christ-centered. These people identify a relationship with Jesus as the most important thing in their lives. The Bible is their life manual. They're consistently seeking ways to serve and surrender more to further the kingdom. Your decision is this: to surrender every aspect of your life to Jesus, whereas nothing is off limits. Not your time, not your treasure, not your vacations, not your home, not your comfort, not your relationships. Nothing is off limits to Jesus. Jesus has final say over everything. That is your decision point that you need to make as you move towards spiritual maturity. And guys, you'll be hearing an awful lot about the new system, the new training system we've got. It's called, we simply call it 101, 201, 301, 401.